WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning, and it is a chilly one, 38 degrees, but the sun is out, the sun is shining, so I guess that's a positive. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's mid-November, this is what you got to expect. Have you turned the heat on yet? I mean, it's going to be 45 today, 45 tomorrow, 46 Thursday, 51 Friday, 47, 46, 50, 49. We're going to be hovering around this temperature for the next week, week and a half, judging by the long-term forecast here. So if in some ways you can say, well, if I haven't turned the heat on yet, I don't need to, right? But then the other part is there's the cumulative effect of many days at that temperature. Like, we were lucky we had Saturday was kind of warm, right? It warmed up a little bit. Sunday warmed up a little bit, but I don't know. What do you think? Is it time to flip the switch? Is it time to turn the thermostat? I thought about it last night when I got home. I said, yeah, I should just put it on for a little bit. Take the chill out. And then I said, nope. Just going to put on some heavy sweatpants and a sweatshirt and sit around in that. And I was fine. I do think, though, that I guess the only hard part is when you come out of the shower. Even waking up, you know, coming out of my electric blanket in the morning and going out to go to the bathroom to take a shower and everything like that, that doesn't hit me as hard as when I get out of the shower where it's been nice and warm and then my bathroom is pretty warmed up. But then I walk out into like the living room area and I'm like, oh, geez, what a difference. So 508-996-0500. In the first hour, we were talking about the news that Sheriff Paul Heroux announced that the Bristol County Sheriff's Office has settled the lawsuit with the ICE detainees over that May 1st, 2020 incident that happened at the former detention center on the Dartmouth campus of the Bristol County House of Correction. And as I mentioned, Sheriff Heroux was critical of Sheriff Hodgson in his release about it. Now, he referred to him as my predecessor. But this was a $10 million lawsuit that was brought against the BCSO, Tom Hodgson himself, the jail supervisor, other employees, as well as DHS and ICE. And this, again, $10 million is what they were seeking. But as you know, if this goes to trial, the jury could award more than $10 million. They could have said, you know what? Like, we think this was even more egregious than the plaintiffs are saying. And so we're going to award $20 million. They might say we're going to award, there were 17 plaintiffs, so they might say we're going to award $17 million. You got to give $1 million to each plaintiff. And that's not only the cost of the judgment, but also the cost of getting to that point as well. And so Sheriff Aro said it's better to settle because if we did lose, that would hold the individuals involved, the individual employees liable as well. So although he was critical of Tom Hodgson in his comments, basically saying, you know, my predecessor got us into this. We never should have been in this position. He also bailed Tom Hodgson out because he was named in that lawsuit individually, not as the sheriff, but as a person. So the settlement of $800,000. Is coming out of the civil process money. So when you have to like hire the sheriff's office to come and do something like evict a person, that money gets put into an account and that account is what's paying for this settlement. So it's not coming out of the taxpayer money. It's coming out of services that they provided. And I think this is an important thing to get settled because this has been an ongoing thing now for a number of years. I mean, every couple of months, somebody will send us an app chat message or an email and saying, what's going on with that lawsuit? Have you heard anything about it? Because we got the report in 2022. The lawsuit was filed in 2022. So this has been over 3 years now that this has been hanging over the sheriff's office. And no matter what you might think about people who are here and detained because of immigration, as Sheriff Aro pointed out in his release, the 14th Amendment guarantees them certain rights. And if the jury found that those rights weren't being met, then the sheriff's office would have lost the case. And he seemed to think there was a good chance that they would lose. So again, 508-996-0500 if you want to chime in on that. We also have some other stories for you at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Barry has a piece today where it says, surprisingly, 75% of parents polled support cell phone restrictions by students in schools. That normally, you know, you would think, because certainly when we talk about it here, Barry mentions that when he talks about it on his show, and I know when I've talked about it on this show, if you ask parents, you know, should kids have their phones taken away in school, a lot of parents are very vocal about, no, I want my kid to have their phone on them and I want them to have access to it because who knows what goes on in school these days. And I want to be able to reach them at any given time. And as I've said in the past, we got along just fine with just the classroom phone. And I hate to be one of those people that says, well, back in my day, because times change, and I get that. But I don't foresee, I don't understand the need to have access to the child while the child is learning. Whatever you need to ask the child, if it's not important enough to call the classroom phone, then it's not important enough to ask during the school day. It used to drive me crazy when I was in college and I didn't have a cell phone yet, but I had a pager. And Biffy at the diner would page me constantly while I was at school to ask me questions. And I would have to go find the pay. I'd have to go to the payphone, you know, pay the money, which Dartmouth to Wareham is not a quarter call. Maybe it was. I don't remember. But I'd have to call him back to say, like, well, what's up? Where'd you put that knife? What? I'm in the middle of class. Like, we would actually have those kinds of conversations. And of course, it got worse when I had a cell phone. Thankfully, by that point, I was not a student anymore. I bought one when I was a student from somebody in the campus center who was just trying to sell a cell phone to pay for gas money to get back to California. He's like, "Can I buy the cell phone?" I was like, "Is it stolen?" "No, it's my cell phone, but I got to sell it. I need money." And I was like, "All right, how much do you want?" He said, "Give me $75. And I went down to the beeper store and they put service in my name. I don't think it cost me anything to do it, but then if I made a call, it was like 50 cents a minute. So we used it very sparingly. So naturally, I did not give Biffy that number right away. We just used it for like, "Oh, you want to go to the movies? Call the movie theater and see what movies are playing." And of course, you had to sit on that recording and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And I'm like, 50 cents a minute, 50 cents a minute. So the phone call cost me as much as a movie ticket. But anyway, we were fine not having access, you know, full time to our parents. And if they had something important that they had to ask us, they had the office line and the office could connect you to whatever classroom you were in at that time. And I think a lot of parents, you know, if it's 75%, as this polling indicates, kind of understand that same idea. I have a way to get a hold of my kid if I have a question. If something goes on that's an emergency at the school, what am I going to do? You know, a lot of parents say, "Well, you know, it takes forever for schools to give you information. If they go into lockdown, we don't find out about it until WBSM writes an article about it. Or we get an email at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that says, yes, the school briefly went into lockdown and here's why. I want to know when it happens." Yeah, but then what happens is you get the kid telling you that they're in lockdown, and then it's whatever rumors the kids are hearing is what they're telling you and causing you more panic. You know, for example, the middle school in Fairhaven was on lockdown a few weeks ago because the police were chasing a suspect and the suspect just got close to the school. The kids were never in danger, but they did it out of an abundance of caution. So do you want to get that information when you're not sure what it is? So I don't know. I see both sides of it, but I also think it's more of a problem and more of a distraction than anything. But I also blame the kids for that. Like, you should know that when class is going on, don't be on the phone. I say that as a kid that, you know, and I guess in my day, the equivalent would have been writing notes. And I was constantly writing notes in class. And I don't mean taking notes. I mean like writing notes to other people, to pass to other people. And so if that's, you know, if this is the modern equivalent of that, I guess I really can't be too critical about it. But you can read Barry's piece at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. He certainly found it interesting that that many parents supported restricting the use of cell phones. And so do I. 75% seems really high. There's also a story that we have about the coldest day in Massachusetts. And we've had some pretty cold days in recent years. But I think that, you know, the coldest day, some of you might remember, because it wasn't that long ago. It's about a little over 40 years ago. Almost 41 years ago. No, wait, almost 42 years ago. January 22nd, 1984. I was 6 years old. I had just turned 6 years old. And on that day, the lowest recorded temperature in Massachusetts, 40 degrees below zero in the town of Chester. 40 below zero. That's not wind chill. That's the actual temperature. And I've been in some pretty cold weather. I'll never forget the day that I was covering a It was the Tennessee Titans and the Patriots playoff game at Gillette Stadium. And I think that was one of the coldest days that I've ever been out in. And there were two guys so we're sitting in the nice warm press box. The press box is basically like, it's like an office. You know, it's got the carpeting, it's got the built-in desks, it's got power outlets. This isn't like a press box like a high school's stadium where it's, you know, just an open window and some counters, or like, this is like an actual office. Two levels of all glass and everything. And when you're in there, you're not experiencing the elements. It's warm. It's climate controlled. And we're sitting in there watching the game. And then I was sitting next to Dan Pyers, the late, great Dan Pyers. And we see these two idiots in the very far corner of the stadium, the very upper part, top corner, over, not where the lighthouse is, but across from where the lighthouse is. So like across the bridge, the other side of the bridge. So that high point up there on the north side. And there's two idiots up there without shirts on. And Dan looks at me and I look at Dan and he's like, those guys got to be from our area. Those got to be South Coast guys. And I was like, well, I guess I got to go find out. So I put on my gloves, put on my jacket, put on my hat. I never wear a scarf, but I think I wore a scarf that day. And I drudge all the way out there. And it's not easy. It's not easy getting, because, you know, you got to get through all these people. And so, and it's in the opposite side of the stadium from where I am. So I get all the way over there. And I go up there to record with, interview with those guys. Now, they were not from our area. I forget where they were from. Like maybe Weymouth or something. Dedham. But I get all the way up in there, the corner, and I take my hand out of my gloves just long enough to press record on my tape recorder and then put my hand back in my gloves. And in just that brief amount of time that I took my hand out of my glove, I got frostbite on my thumb. So I can't imagine what they went through sitting out there for the game, most of the game, with no shirts on. I hope that they didn't get frostbite all over their body, because that wasn't fun. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I got to take a break here. Let me do that. We'll be back in a few moments.
Time.
You're listening to the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
President Trump turning to McDonald's. Ted Cruz may be running for president, and the FAA lifting flight reductions.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump continuing to promote affordability as consumers navigate high prices. The president delivered remarks yesterday to an audience of McDonald's owners during its Impact Summit in Washington, D.C.
Chief executive and your chairman and everybody else, they tell me prices at McDonald's are coming down. It's moving down. Unfortunately, they were so high in the last administration that people aren't that happy.
Trump touted the fast food giant during his speech, along with praising the economy. The president has used McDonald's as a point of relatability amongst voters by working a drive-thru while on the campaign trail in 2024, and he served McDonald's to a college football team visiting the White House during his first term as well. There are reports that Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is laying the groundwork for another presidential run. President Trump was asked about it, and he says he's not surprised.
He's a very good guy. He's a very good friend of mine. You remember we had quite a campaign against Ted.
Cruz was the runner-up in the 2016 GOP primary, and next year he's hosting a donor retreat, according to a report in Axios. an Indiana homeowner is being charged with manslaughter in the killing of a house cleaner that went to the wrong address. Maria Florinda Rios Perez was killed on November 5th after she mistakenly went to the incorrect home in the Indianapolis suburb of Whitestown. And 62-year-old Kurt Anderson has been taken into custody and being held without bail in connection to the incident. According to the Boone County prosecutor, Indiana has a strong protection for self-defense, but those protections did not apply in this instance, as Anderson did not have reasonable belief that the type of force was necessary given the facts. According to Anderson's attorney, he is set to appear before a judge later this week, and he'll ask for bail. The FAA has ended its flight reduction order at airports across the U.S. A reduction in flights at dozens of major airports began a week ago to help address the fatigue and staffing issues among air traffic controllers during the record-long government shutdown. As a result, there have been just over 80 cancellations and 4,100 delays. The decision led to thousands of flights being delayed and canceled, coming as the busy Thanksgiving travel period is approaching. A Jeffrey Epstein accuser urging House members to vote to release files related to the convicted sex offender Alicia Arden, joined by her attorney Gloria Allred at a news conference yesterday. Arden says she's learned that lawmakers in Washington are more concerned with playing political games than being honest with the American people. She called on Congress to vote to release the files so that Americans can see who helped Epstein. The bill to release the files could go to the floor this afternoon. Ford Motor Company is partnering with Amazon to try to sell used vehicles on the e-commerce's platform.
Customers in Los Angeles, Seattle, and Dallas will be able to browse and purchase Ford Blue Advantage certified pre-owned vehicles from dealerships in their areas. Ford dealers will be able to set prices and share vehicle information, while Amazon will allow customers to start paperwork online, secure financing, and schedule a pickup time for the purchase. Hyundai Motor Company began selling vehicles on the platform in 2024. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Ariana Grande and Cher headline the guests for Saturday Night Live's December episodes. Grande will serve as the host for her third time on December 20th. She'll be joined by musical guest Cher, who will perform on the show for the first time since 1987.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Bruins lost to the Hurricanes 3-1 last night. The Bees back in action tomorrow at 10 o'clock with the Ducks. And the Celtics are in Brooklyn with the Nets tonight at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Mostly sunny today, windy, dry, and chilly. High temperatures this afternoon, mid-40s. Clear to partly cloudy for tonight. Late night temperatures down to 30. Morning clouds on Wednesday. There's some sunshine during the afternoon. Less wind and highs in the upper 40s. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right. Hey, before we get into the Gen X files for today, I want to let you know about Trembley Bus Company. If you are looking for extra work or a job that you can work around your kid's school schedule, or maybe you're retired and you just want a little something to do and put a little money in your pocket, Trembley Bus Company is hiring bus drivers, van drivers, monitors, and all you have to do to apply is go to their website, tbcbus.com, TBC for Trembley Bus Company, tbcbus.com, and you can find out more about how to apply. But don't worry about not having a CDL. They are willing to train you if you are willing to learn. So it's a great way to make some money while helping kids get to school. Visit tbcbus.com and find out more. All right, really quickly, before we get into today's Gen X files, I want to read you something that I just saw during the news break that came across my my social media because it made me laugh. And it says, currently the most popular, it's a meme, currently the most popular Gen X shoes. And I'm going to read these to you. All right. New Balance, the unofficial sneaker of I'm not old, I just appreciate arch support. Brooks, for the Gen Xer who doesn't run but somehow owns two pairs of running shoes. Hoka, the giant cushion that screams, my joints thank me. Skechers, slip-ons, because tying shoes is a young person's game. Nike, the brand Gen X has been loyal to since Air Jordans and Bo Jackson cross trainers. Adidas, still wearing Sambas or Superstars and pretending they never went out of style. Asics, your go-to if you ever said my podiatrist would be proud. Merrell, for people who don't hike but absolutely own hiking shoes. Vionic, when you want your feet corrected and look like you still have taste. Timberland, the 90s called, they want their work boots back. Gen X said no. Clarks, dress shoes for when you need to look nice but your feet refuse. Birkenstock, we wore them in the 90s, and surprise, they came back, just like our lower back pain. Converse, or Vans, we keep buying them, even though our arches file a formal complaint. Hey Dude, for the Gen Xer who finally embraced the comfort over cool lifestyle. And Doc Martens, for those still clinging to their punk alternative roots, even if their feet are begging them to stop. So out of these, what do I have? I used to wear New Balance when I was a cook. I had the New Balance non-slip shoes, but not anymore. I do have a pair of Hokas somebody gave me. I have a lot of pairs of Skechers. I have a lot of pairs of Nikes, a lot of pairs of Jordans. I almost bought a pair of Merrell boots the other day. I have Converse and Vans. I have Hey Dudes, and that's about it. And I used to be like I have one pair of shoes person, but now I have multiple pairs. And when I say multiple, I mean a lot. In fact, some of them I got to get rid of because they don't fit me anymore when my feet shrunk after I lost weight. All right. Anyway, you know what time it is now. Speaking of Gen X.
The Gen X Files.
Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Writer Margaret Atwood is celebrating her 86th birthday today, as is actress Brenda Vaccaro. Linda Evans, who ruled 80s television on Dynasty, is 83. Actor Delroy Lindo is 73, while SNL alum Kevin Nealon is 72. It's hard to believe he's 72. Oscar Nunez of The Office turned 67. Actress Elizabeth Perkins, who co-starred with Tom Hanks in Big and played Wilma in The Flintstones, she's 65. Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett is 63. Oh, wow. Owen Wilson turns 57 today. Actor and comedian Mike Epps is 55. Actress Chloe Sevigny, who played Lizzie Borden back in 2018, she's 51. Red Sox great David Ortiz is 50, while rapper Fabulous is 48. Another SNL alum celebrating a birthday today, Nassim Pradad, is 44. And Damon Wayans Jr. is celebrating his 43rd birthday today. We'll go all the way back to 1928 because on this date in 1928, Walt Disney's Mickey Mouse made his first appearance in Steamboat Willie. And of course, Walt Disney himself originally provided Mickey's voice. In 1978, in Jonestown, Guyana, 918 members of People's Temple were murdered or committed suicide under the leadership of cult leader Jim Jones. The bodies of over 400 of those who died are buried in a mass grave at Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland, California. In 1978, Billy Joel scored his first number one album with 52nd Street. His sixth LP, which featured the hits My Life, Big Shot, and Honesty, later earned him two Grammys, including Album of the Year. Big day for movies in 1982, Yentl, starring Barbara Streisand, Amityville 3D, which is not as bad as you might think, and A Christmas Story. The beloved classic, A Christmas Story, all released on this date in 1982 in U.S. theaters. In 1985, LL Cool J released his debut album, Radio, the first album ever issued on Def Jam Records. It went platinum and made LL the first solo act on par with reigning rap kings Run DMC. In 1985, Sesame Street's Elmo was introduced. He was usually puppeteered by Kevin Clash. Since Clash's controversial resignation in late 2012, he has been puppeteered by Ryan Dillon. November 18th, 1985, the Howard Stern radio show debuted on New York's WXRK. In 1987, Sony reached an agreement to buy CBS Records, which included Columbia, Portrait, and Epic, for $2 billion. Artists on these labels included Michael Jackson, Barbra Streisand, Bob Dylan, Billy Joel, and Bruce Springsteen. On this date in 1992, the Seinfeld episode titled The Contest was broadcast on NBC. It was a controversial episode that later won an Emmy and was named the number one episode of all time by TV Guide magazine. On November 18th, 1993, Nirvana taped a performance for MTV's Unplugged, which was set to air a month later. Joined by guitarist Pat Smear and cellist Lori Goldston of New York Sony Music Studios, the band chose a set list of lesser-known material, as well as covers of songs by Leadbelly, David Bowie, Meat Puppets, and The Vaseline's. The following year, months after Cobain's death, the performance was released as a live album. Topping charts around the globe, MTV Unplugged in New York gave Nirvana their highest first-week sales ever. And today, it ranks as one of the greatest live albums of all time. In 1993, WWF boss Vince McMahon was charged with steroid distribution. 1994, the Rolling Stones became the first major act to stream a live concert on the internet, webcasting 20 minutes of their show at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. It's really for publicity to promote their upcoming pay-per-view concert, because very few computers could actually receive the webcast. In 1995, the last Queen album, Made in Heaven, debuted at number one in the UK. Most of the album was recorded shortly before lead singer Freddie Mercury's 1991 death. On November 18th, 2001, Britney Spears scored her second U.S. number one album with Britney. The album's success made her the first female artist in music history to have her first three studio albums debut in the number one spot. This record, however, would later be broken by Spears herself with her fourth studio album, In the Zone, which charted in the same position. November 18th, 2001, GameCube was released, the Nintendo video game console. In 2003, acting on the sexual abuse allegations of a 12-year-old boy who had visited the home, approximately 70 members of California's Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office and District Attorney's Offices raided Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. The singer was in Vegas at the time filming a music video. November 18, 2005, the movie Walk the Line, based on the life of Johnny Cash and starring Joaquin Phoenix as the singer, opened in U.S. theaters. And speaking of Nintendo, on this date in 2013... the Wii U was released. In 2017, rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young, a founding member of AC/DC, died at the age of 64. And looking ahead to the future, on this date in 2115, a movie titled 100 Years, the movie you will never see, will be released. It is a secret film written by and starring John Malkovich. I believe it was directed by Robert Rodriguez. 100 Years is kept in a high-tech safe in bulletproof glass that will open automatically on November 18th, 2015, the date of the film's release. The plot remains a complete mystery. That's the Gen X Files for November 18th, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards Program, and where you can enjoy some of their great specials that they have each and every week, including this week's specials, which include peach crumble pancakes, meatloaf cheddar omelet, and cranberry nut toast, as well as a harvest hash plate. All right. Yeah, I got to get a break in here. Let me do that. That was a pretty long Gen X Files today, but there was a lot to share with you. I'm really interested in finding out. I'd never heard about this 100 Years, the movie you will never see, until I was researching this stuff yesterday. And now I'm obsessed with finding out more about it. Because I am not going to live to 2115 to be able to see that. All right, let me take a break here. We will be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500. Well, not that one. Don't press that button. Press this one.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care.
Waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
And one of my favorite jokes of Norm MacDonald's on Weekend Update was topping the music charts this week was the alternative rock band Better Than Ezra. Coming in at number two, Ezra. It was like the most obvious joke. You saw it coming a mile away, but just his delivery made me laugh. He's the best. Probably my favorite comedian of all time. If you are upgrading your home's efficiency, well, it can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. And our number here, 508-996-0500. You can also send in questions via app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Got a message from NB resident on the app chat. He says, with the passing of a school committee member, there was one person on the ballot that didn't make it. Does that mean he automatically gets the seat, or is there another election? So what'll happen is, so there was a person who didn't make it. There was three people vying, make sure I get this right. Four people vying for three seats. And so Marcus Cower did not make it. And so a lot of people are asking that same question. Does that mean that he gets that seat? And it does not work that way. So what'll happen is somebody has to be appointed to finish Bruce Oliveira's term, which is up at the end of 2027. So somebody will be appointed to serve 2 years. And the way that that works is the city council and the school committee work together to determine who that person is. And that's how Bruce Oliveira actually got on the school committee back in 2012, was the person who he replaced had resigned. And so they needed somebody to fill that position. And so that was a matter of, you know, the city council and the school committee coming together and coming to that decision. So they put out, you know, they decide who they want to put out there for candidates and then they vote. And I was talking with Council President Burgo about that yesterday off the air to just kind of get an idea of if he had any idea of when that might happen. And I didn't want to do it on the air because I didn't want to be disrespectful to Bruce Oliveira. You know, I didn't want to, we were kind of memorializing Bruce and I didn't want to make it about, well, now what happens? You know, we can talk about that next week. And certainly we will. I'm sure Mayor Mitchell will want to talk about it tomorrow with Chris McCarthy when he's on at 11 a.m. But I just felt like, you know, we should hold off that talk. But I asked him for my own edification during the break. And he said, yes, that's, you know, it'll be that same process. But as for when it might happen, he didn't know. I was just speculating with him that maybe they, you know, it might be something that they wait for the new year just because is there a lot of school committee business left here in the end of the calendar year? You know, there's just not a lot of meetings that happen during the holiday season. So, but we'll find out more from Mayor Mitchell tomorrow, I am sure. All right, I got one more break. I got to get in. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Late.
All right, we're going to be taking a break for the news coming up. We're going to get the ABC News with all the national headlines. And then Mike Roberts has all your South Coast headlines. We can talk more about them on the other side at 508-996-0.